0043995, United States versus Serrano. Good morning, Mr. Schwing.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Your Honors.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Counsel. May it please the Court, Your Honors, this case, I think, is a quite interesting issue about what you can do with what comes out of the garbage. This was a drug case where the police had set up a controlled buy. Prior to the occurrence of the controlled buy, they had done a garbage pull, pulled out a number of documents that were introduced at trial over trial counsel's objection that these were hearsay and were being introduced to establish residence of the defendant at this Spatz Avenue address, or Spatz Street.
Even if we would assume that the admission of the mail was improper, why would the error not be harmless? There seems to have been quite a bit of other evidence here connecting him to that address, including, you know, the two forms of identification that they found in his wallet.
Your Honor, I think the error was very harmful. For one thing, there was a lot of some information that established dates in these documents. The arrests and the drug buys and so forth were going on in February of 2003, and there's correspondence that was admitted into evidence over objection that was dated February 2003 and talked about your insurance as of this date is February 2003. They had a driver's license that they took off of his person, but my driver's license is good for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And he said he moved out prior to this occurrence with these drug buys there. So that was his whole defense. Now, I was gone before any of this happened.
But he was standing right there, directing them to the cabinet in the corner and specifying where in the cabinet the cocaine was. So, I mean, maybe he'd moved, maybe not, but, I mean, he certainly had an affiliation with the premises.
Yeah, we had, well, sure. And
he was there.
Yeah, he was. There were three other people there as well.
Yeah, but they weren't the ones saying it's over in the corner, yeah. You know, in Spanish.
Sure. But there were certain things. This is a pretty weak case, quite frankly. Mr. Serrano doesn't show up anywhere prior to this drug buy inside this house. His name never occurs anywhere. Nobody ever hears of him before this. In come the police. Do the undercover buy with Mr. Hernandez. There's three people in the house, including Mr. Serrano. Mr. Hernandez says, "Where's the rest of the stuff?" He says, "It's over there in the closet."
And there it is.
And he said,
"The jury could infer that he had some knowledge about all this and participation."
Well, sure, he knew where the drugs were. No question about that. I mean, maybe he saw somebody put a package over there. Who knows whether he knew they were drugs or whatever. There was no conversation between him and any of the undercover officers.
He must have known they were drugs because the question was, where's the other half kilo? And he says, it's over there in the corner. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to stretch this too far. I mean, whether you think this is harmful or not, I mean, I had the same question. Although it also seemed to me that the district court judge here got all bollocked up with hearsay. It seems to me nobody is worrying about whether he has an insurance policy or not with this company. It seems to me it's an act on the part of the insurance company to send to think that they can reach him there, and their act shows a connection.
I kind of have to disagree with that. You're talking sort of like what the Eighth Circuit said in Singer, the act of mailing.
Not what the district court thought about Singer. I don't think it has anything to do with state of mind. No one cares about the insurance company's state of mind. And indeed, he is trying to prove his alternative residence by exactly the same kind of evidence, utility bills. What do we care about what the utility bill says either from your point of view.
Well, the utility bills that he introduced weren't hearsay because he said, yeah, these are my utility bills.
But no, he's not the one who can authenticate the utility bills. It's the utility company sent the bills.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis him, it's the same as the insurance bills.
What the government was trying to do here, Your Honor, was because they found drug stuff in the basement, something called a cocaine press, whatever that may be. I don't know, puts little pictures of bunnies on stuff, or but they found drug stuff in the in the basement, and they found money floating around, and they the government, you know, one act, yeah, it's over in the corner, and they say he's aiding and abetting a drug transfer. They got to show more than that. They got to show he knew it was a drug sale, and he says, I thought they were coming to dinner, and they have to show that he intended the sale to succeed. Well, there's certainly a plausible defense here. Yeah, I knew the stuff was over in the corner, but you know, I thought they were coming to dinner, and I wasn't involved in any drug sales. I'm a drug dealer. I don't do stuff with cocaine presses and so forth and so on. I think the record shows that this is, government says this wasn't hearsay.
Yeah, they think it's non-assertive conduct.
It was introduced, if we take a look at the record, it was introduced as hearsay. It was introduced for precisely...
As I say, there was a lot of discussion that was a little off the mark about what this stuff was. It certainly wasn't a party admission. It wasn't all sorts of other things.
And it can't be state of mind because corporations don't have states of mind.
No, it's not the state of mind anyway of the insurance company, but it's a non-assertive piece of conduct on the part of the company.
Well, then you put...
I mean, they could have walked up to the door, too, and put it on the mat, and that wouldn't be saying a word.
I think that's calling a diamond a spade, quite frankly, Your Honor, because if you take all kinds of stuff that's really hearsay and metamorphize it into conduct, your hearsay rule's gone. There's no hearsay rule anymore anyway. I think that's not a correct assessment.
Among other things, you noted that there was no limiting instruction given as to the mail, but did Mr. Serrano ever ask for such an instruction?
He said it shouldn't come in, period. And he said it again and again. And I would, if you don't mind, Your Honor, I'd like to point out in our appendix we have some trial transcript about how exactly this came in, so you understand how it was used. And this is from the trial transcript. It's page 19 of our appendix. Okay, this is Mr. Trigovich. This is the exhibit we were just talking about, exhibit 29, in the name of Eddie Roncone. Date February 14th, 2003. Expiration date March 14th, 2003. He's asking the officer. The officer says, correct, sir. So there's three bits of hearsay that just came in. Okay, one, was this mailed or anything like that? Name, which is wrong because it's not Eddie Roncone. It's Roberto Serrano, February 14th, the date surrounding this offense. Expiration date, correct, sir. And Exhibit 30, declaration, yes, sir, containing the same date, same address, same person, and Ron Cohn, 4506 Spath Street. Again and again and again and again. Three at least chunks of hearsay that these documents were specifically introduced to establish. So, yeah, it was hearsay. It was absolutely hearsay, and there's no exception. We can talk about them, but we're running out of time. It was way fun, but I'd like to reserve the rest of my time unless you have some questions.
Thank you. Mr. Trigovich.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Bob Trigovich. I'm from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Indiana. Your Honors, my position is that the briefs, in my opinion, adequately address this. I'd be pleased to answer any questions if the court, any of the judges have them, but other than that, I'd stand on my brief.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Do you want to rebut to that?
How can there be rebuttal to that?
I don't know.
Do you want to rebut to that?
No.
You have half
a not a rebuttable argument.
You have half a minute. Do you want to say one more thing?
For you, I'm sure.
No, that's thank you. Right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. The court is in recess until tomorrow morning, 9:30.